This is a Two Peas special edition. What's up, world? Welcome in to Two Peas on a Podcast. So glad that you are joining us for this very special episode. We don't normally release episodes on Monday. If you're hearing this when it came out, it is a Monday. You are correct. Nothing wrong with you. We are doing our third annual Golden Pea Movie Awards. Andy and I have done this twice before, and when we did it before, we just kind of picked our favorites and then talked about those. We did something a little bit different this time around. People that know me personally are aware of this, but I am a giant fan, well, just of movies in general, but really of awards season. I really get into it. I've been to film festivals in the past. I watch all the Academy Award, Golden Globe movies. I make sure I see them all before the big show, and I just really get into it. I fill out all the predictions. I do a pool with some friends at work, and so on and so on. With that being said, I invited one of my favorite dudes in the entire world. Yes, one of my favorite movie lovers, but just one of my favorite guys. We've been friends online for a couple years now. He's been on the show a couple times, and he's not an award season guy, so I thought it'd be fun to have a little movie discussion and have him on an award show, which I guess, shame on me. Brian Loy, Loy Sauce, from the Epic Film Guys, notably. How are you, man? Welcome back.
Hey there. It's a pleasure. Thanks for having me on.
Is it a pleasure? It's an award show. It's award season.
Yeah. This ain't the Oscars. This ain't the Golden Globes. It's the Golden Pea Awards.
There you go, man. So what we're going to do today, guys, we have 12 categories, and you guys voted on them. We got nearly 200 votes overall, 200 ballots cast for this, and we have our winner. So 12 categories. The categories that I'll just tell you what we're going to be going through tonight. Me and Brian are just going to read the nominees that were on the ballot and then who won in each individual category. So we're going to be doing best horror film, best comedy film, best animated film, best action film, best screenplay, best movie pet or animal, which is a fun one, best supporting actress and actor, best director, best actor and actress, and of course, best movie. So those are the 12 categories that we will be rolling through here. If you voted, thank you so much for doing so. So Brian, before we get into the categories, you know, this shouldn't be too long. I just want to run through them and see who won and have a nice discussion with you about these nominees. However, before we do that, what did you think of 2019 in film? I mean, how would you rate it? I know you're a movie guy. You work in a movie theater. Was 2019 a great year? Mediocre? What do you think?
Well, that's the thing, Gerald. I think every year is a great year for movies.
I love that answer.
You know, every year we have this conversation where it's like, oh, you know, Hollywood's dead.
Right.
Nothing of quality is going to come out the entire year. And then, of course, you know, just like every other year, there's quality films, there's crap films, and there's everything in between.
Yeah, we talked about this a little bit. We did our 2019 top five movies. It just happened really late, I felt like, this year. I know you probably had some that you loved in the early part of the year, but there was very few and far between until like September for me. I don't know. It was strange. It was like they all just flooded at one time at the end of the year. I tell you what, man, let's get started. Each category we'll go through and we will alternate who is giving out the award, so to speak, and who's announcing the winner. Brian, you're going to go first, man. So Brian's going to be presenting for Best Horror Movie. What did we have over there, Brian?
So the nominees for Best Horror Film are Crawl, It Chapter 2, Midsommar, Ready or Not, and Us.
All right. By the way, I have little actual envelope kind of index cards that a friend of mine wrote all the winners down, and so he's the only one that actually knows the winner. So here we go.
And the winner for Best Horror Film is Midsommar.
Midsommar, Mr. Ari Aster.
I invited Danny to come to Sweden.
You know what she's been going through?
Christian says you've got this special week planned.
It's sort of a crazy festival. Special ceremonies and dressing up.
That sounds fun.
Unbelievable.
Welcome and happy midsummer. Skål!
What time is it?
9 p.m.
That can't be right. The sky is blue.
This is what 9 p.m. is like here.
How long have you two been together?
Just over 3.5 years.
4 years.
Really?
Yeah.
What do you think?
It's like another world.
Tomorrow's a big day.
Is it scary?
What is it?
It has special properties.
What am I going through?
We just need to acclimate.
I don't want
to
acclimate. I want to go.
Absolutely not.
What's happening? I don't know why you invited us.
That's why you look so guilty right now, because you know.
We only do this every 90 years. I was most excited for you to come.
I'm okay with that, Brian. What about you? I love that film.
More than fine with it.
Yeah, I mean, of these choices, that's got to be it, right? I mean, Crawl was a lot of fun, but I don't know. Midsommar is just such a, just an art house kind of, it's just art, in my opinion.
Epic film guy Justin had Crawl at his number one, but for me, I mean, Midsommar hit me really hard. You know, when I first saw Ari Aster's Hereditary, mm-hmm. I literally stumbled out of the theater, and I thought, who is this guy? He came out of nowhere, making this masterwork of a horror film. Mm-hmm. And Midsommar is an incredibly impressive follow-up. I think it captures, much like Hereditary, I think it captures grief so well, captures human relationships so well. The ending of the film is incredibly horrifying, but it's also almost cathartic in a way. Mm-hmm. Amazing performances. Florence Pugh.
Oh, just yeah.
Terrific.
Amazing.
Has the most spectacular frown of all time.
It really does.
And it was really refreshing to see a horror film take place pretty much entirely in broad ass daylight.
Yeah, no, that was very inventive and kind of adding his own spin to that kind of genre that, I mean, you've seen so many different things, and I know people have references to The Wicker Man for this and stuff like that, but
it's basically The Wicker Man
yeah,
for the modern
no,
day.
Yeah, no, it really
there's
is.
There's more than a lot of similarities.
I agree. But I did love it, and Ari Aster along with Robert Eggers are probably my two current favorite filmmakers that are making movies right now, maybe Jordan Peele as well. So yeah, I loved it. I mean, this actually was my vote when I cast my vote for Midsommar. So that's the best horror film of 2019, according to you guys. So next on the ballot is the best comedy. Let me read the nominees real quick. So the best comedy film. The nominees were Booksmart, Dolomite Is My Name, The Farewell, Jojo Rabbit, and Long Shot. And the winner for best comedy movie is Booksmart.
Amy, you've been out for 2 years and you've never kissed a girl.
I really don't know what I'm doing with all that stuff.
I have a secret for you. I once tried to masturbate with an electric toothbrush, but I got a horrible UTI.
Yeah.
Like, horrible.
I wish that would have been a secret, but you've mentioned it many, many times.
Hey. Oh, shit. Woo. Are we gonna go to school or?
Nope. What's 2 + 2?
Isn't it crazy that it's the last day of school?
Are you kidding me, Samantha?
She's got a really cute smile.
Go talk to her.
Oh, sorry.
Sharp elbows. Not as sharp as your chin.
What?
Amy.
Ow! It's the last day. We got you through high school.
I need to go over the end of the year budget numbers.
Can't we just graduate, head off to college? That should do it, right?
We will persist.
I can't hear you. I can't soundproof glass.
We have to go to a party tonight.
What?
Nobody knows that we are fun. We didn't party because we wanted to focus on school and get into good colleges.
And it worked.
But the irresponsible people who partied also got into those colleges.
I'm incredible at hand jobs, but I also got a 1560 on the SATs.
We haven't done anything. We haven't broken any rules.
Name one person whose life was so much better because they broke a couple of rules.
Picasso.
He broke art rules.
Rosa Parks.
Name another one.
Susan B. Anthony.
God damn it.
How do you feel about
Hell
that,
yeah.
Brian? It's gotta be. I know that's another kind of no-brainer in my opinion. I do love all these movies that are in this category, but yeah, I think Booksmart is gotta be, right? I mean, that's the first kind of, not the first, but the first in a long time kind of female-led, I don't know, what would you call it, like raunchy kind of comedy, I guess you would put a tag on that maybe? I don't know. What'd
yeah,
you think?
it's the high school comedy. Yeah. It's for sure a party movie, but I think what sets this apart from other films of its kind is the direction. Mm-hmm. Olivia Wilde, this is her debut, and it's such a sure-handed, confidently directed film.
Can't believe it's her first.
I know. It's very impressive.
Yeah.
The other nominees as well. I mean, I had a really soft spot for Dolomite Is My Name. Mm. The Farewell was incredible. I'm really glad that Long Shot made the list of nominees, because that's a film that I feel like a lot of people slept on. It was kind of early in the year. It didn't really get the attention that I feel like it should have, but that was a very charming film as well.
I thought it was too. And you got to love, anytime anybody uses rock sets, it must have been love. It's going to be a good movie. In my opinion. Long Shot only got 6 votes out of the nearly 200, so that's disappointing. But I did like that movie a lot. Like you said, it just came really early in the year. I actually just rewatched that. I think it might be on Hulu right now, or one of the streaming services, and I just rewatched it. It's a good flick. All right, so our best comedy was Booksmart. Brian, you're up next for best animated film. What do you got over there, man?
Well, I have issues with the best animated film category.
All right, well, you want to talk about them now or after you...
Well, I'm just looking at the list of nominees right now, and I don't see Klaus or How to Train Your Dragon, The Hidden World. So I think this is an already invalid category.
I take full responsibility for not seeing Klaus prior to releasing the ballots. I saw it after. And
amazing, amazing, amazing film.
It really was. And I actually had not seen How to Train Your Dragon. I did poll film Twitter and asked a lot of my friends prior to making the ballot, and no one mentioned How to Train Your Dragon, which I found surprising because it is on the Oscar ballot and on a couple other big award circuit ballots. I haven't seen that one, and like I said, I just recently saw Klaus. But go ahead, now that you're angry with me for the animated nominees, you can read them.
And the nominees for Best Animated Film are Abominable, Frozen 2, I Lost My Body, Missing Link, and Toy Story 4. Oh, come on. You've got to be kidding me.
The
winner is Toy Story 4.
Have you still not seen this?
I refuse.
Yeah, that's what you said when we did our Disney songs episode about, I don't know, when it came. I guess we did that when the movie had just come out, Toy Story 4.
Everyone, Bonnie made a friend in class.
She's already making friends.
No, she literally made a new friend. I want you to meet Forky.
Hi.
Hello.
Hi.
He's a spork.
Yes, yeah, I know. Forky is the most important toy to Bonnie right now. We all have to make sure nothing happens to him.
Woody, we have a situation.
I am not a toy. I was made for soup, salad, maybe chili, and then the trash.
Freedom!
Buzz, we've got to get Forky.
Affirmative.
Why am I alive? You're Bonnie's toy. You are going to help create happy memories that will last for the rest of her life.
Huh? What?
Oh, yeah.
You know what, man?
You know what? The people have had their say.
Right.
I'm clearly in a minority here, and that's perfectly fine. That's what it's all about.
Well, are you?
Yeah, Toy Story 4 hit hard for a lot of people.
Are you going to see it? You think? You got to break down and see it, man. It's good, dude. It's good.
I'm sure it is. I'm sure it's good. I'm sure a lot of people worked very hard on it. And
but you and I have a lot of similar sensibilities when it comes to the Disney, you know, remakes and just takeover of the world, because we talked about that on a previous episode. But I'll tell you, I was exactly the same way. And you know, I have a 6-year-old son. He was 5 at the time this movie came out. So of course I'm going to take him to see it, because he wants to see it. He knows Woody and Buzz and, you know, the whole thing. And I was like, well, shit, I like that. That sucks. Like, I wanted to think it was horrible.
And you wanted to hate it?
Yeah, and it was a great movie. So I think you should see it. I think you'll be surprised. Same thing happened to Andy. He didn't want to see it because he's like, the trilogy's perfect. But I let him borrow the Blu-ray, and he was like, wow, that was an amazing film. So it's just kind of fascinating to me that they were able to continue on, because by all accounts, it should be not good, because it's kind of like a franchise they're beating into the ground. But it was good. All right, let's see. Up next is our best action or blockbuster film. And the nominees were Avengers Endgame, Captain Marvel, Godzilla King of the Monsters, John Wick 3 Parabellum, and Star Wars The Rise of Skywalker. And the winner for Best Action Movie is, no surprise, Avengers Endgame.
God, seems like 1,000 years ago. I fought my way out of that cave, became Iron Man. Realized I loved you. I know I said no more surprises, but I was really hoping to pull off one last one.
The world has changed. None of us can go back.
All we can
do is our best. And sometimes the best that we can do is to start over.
I saw all these people die. I keep telling everybody they should move on. Some do, but not us.
Right, Ryan? No surprise there.
Correct.
Yeah, I mean, I do.
What a monumental achievement that movie is. Oh,
tell me about it. Do you prefer Endgame or Infinity War, just as a movie?
Endgame, definitely.
Oh, really? Because I prefer Infinity War.
I think Infinity War is very, very, very busy because it's setting so much stuff up. So for me, the more satisfying film was Endgame when all that stuff is paid off. It's paid off in a way that's, I mean, it's a little clunky. There's some lapses in logic in the story. When you're trying to tie together 22 films and the way that they did it with, in my opinion, grace and craft and heart and emotion. Like there's you know, this has been a 10-year
it's crazy
journey.
23 movies or whatever. It's crazy.
And it's just fun.
I agree. I mean, I think this is the clear winner. In fact, this is the biggest landslide of all the categories. 54% of the vote went to Avengers Endgame. So I agree. I mean, of this list of the nominees, my number two would probably be John Wick 3 and then Captain Marvel. I like those two a lot as well. But
John Wick 3 kicked ass for sure.
Yeah, but I think you got to give it to Endgame, man. So no surprise that that is the biggest victory of all the categories. All right, so I was
hoping at the beginning of the year I could say it would be either Star Wars or Godzilla, but unfortunately, disappointed.
You know, Godzilla, now I'm in the minority on Star Wars, and I don't know if you've heard me talk about that on...
I have, yeah.
Yeah, you know, so, but for the listeners that may not know, I'm in the minority. I just am so infatuated with that franchise, and it means so much to me from like a nostalgia and like a personal connection standpoint that I am blinded and I can see past all the plot holes and all the weird shit, you know? I can be critical of it and I get the criticism, but it's just, in other words, it's very, very hard for me not to love a Star Wars movie. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I can be on board with you there somewhat because I gave it a passing rating when we reviewed it on the Epiphone guys because of Star Wars bias, I guess.
Right. That's basically what I was saying too, yeah.
Because it is a franchise that means so much to me, but in terms of sticking the landing of a 40-year saga, it doesn't quite do that for me. Whereas Avengers Endgame was immensely satisfying for me.
Right.
I saw Endgame, you know, 3 times in theaters. Well, I saw Rise of Skywalker multiple times, and I'll probably be buying it to complete the collection.
No question.
But for me, Endgame was the much more satisfying movie, and I think it definitely deserves that golden pea.
I agree. Okay, man, so the next category is Best Screenplay, and it's on you, Brian.
And the nominees for Best Screenplay are Shia LaBeouf for Honey Boy, Quentin Tarantino for Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, Noah Baumbach for Marriage Story, Bong Joon-ho and Han Jin-won for Parasite, and Greta Gerwig for Little Women. And the winner is Quentin Tarantino for Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
This was a close one. I'm actually pulling up the results as they're being announced to look and see. This was a close one. So Quentin Tarantino wins it, but it was 33% of the vote and 27% of the vote went to Bong Joon-ho and Jin Won for Parasite. What do you think? I mean, I think, you know, and I know we weren't going to have a ton of Oscars discussion today. This is being recorded the Thursday before the Oscars, by the way, everyone. So they don't think we're cheating since it's going to be released in post. But, you know, I think this is probably where Quentin's going to get the most notoriety this award season, including the Golden Pea, is in screenplay. What do you think?
Well, I have no opinion of what might or will win the Academy Award.
Right.
I don't put any sort of stock into awards.
I know you don't.
An award season in general.
That's why I had you on
this. I think it's extremely, and this is not knocking the award show that we're doing right now, because this is chosen, these awards are chosen by the people.
Right.
With the Academy and the Golden Globes, I feel like it's up to a few old white people what movies we should celebrate. Mm-hmm. And I feel like, you know, there are so many great movies that come out in a given year. So many movies that won't ever be recognized by any kind of award show, or especially the Oscars, that won't be recognized, or so many great performances that won't be recognized. And they're just as good, if not better, than what ends up being nominated. So I guess I don't have a problem with it because I enjoy watching the Oscars.
Sure.
I enjoy watch like the the glamour and the pageantry of it all.
Sure.
But I never try to like guess or predict what will win. I'm certainly happy for those nominated, and they're more than deserving.
Yeah, I mean, you know, basically what you're saying, and I agree with you, even though I'm on the side where I love it and I'll predict on, you know, 100 times just because I just love it, but I'm on the other side there. But I do agree with you that there's giant flaws in the formula, which I think is kind of what you're saying, and a bunch of old white dudes are voting for these films, which me and you are both horror fanatics, and that's a perfect example. You once every 50 years see a horror movie even mentioned. You know, I mean, the last time they mentioned a goddamn horror movie was probably Silence of the Lambs, which is early 90s. So
well, Get Out. You could argue Get Out.
Oh, Get Out. That's right. Yeah, Get Out. I'm so sorry. So Get Out was the first one since Silence of the Lambs, unless I'm forgetting something in the middle there. But I agree with you. You know, it's so funny. And you know this because we're friends, but my daughter's in film school, and she wants to ultimately be a film editor. She wants to do editing. And she's
on her way, man. You've shown me some of her work. It's very impressive.
Yeah, thanks, man. Yeah, I'm very, very proud of her. But she's at the School of the Arts and going to school for film. And she's actually made comments to me. It was in last year's Academy Awards because Toni Collette didn't get nominated for Hereditary. And,
which is a tragedy,
oh, it really,
by
it,
the way.
It really was, yeah. But she's like making comments to me. And at the time, she's 17. She's 18 now. So just think of the pride I have. But she's like, you know, I'm going to get there. I'm going to do it. I'm going to get in the system. And I'm going to get on the Academy. I'm going to be a young woman, an Academy member, so I can actually cast votes that matter, you know. So, I mean, the young kind of wave, I think, is coming for the Academy and award shows like that. But I do agree with you that right now it's still so biased and so old, for lack of a better way to put it. So I agree with you. You won't get an argument from me there. So best screenplay, Quentin Tarantino. Now, we got off on a discussion there, but you agree with that as far as the nominees are concerned?
I mean, yeah. All that being said, I think Tarantino would be more than deserving for this award. His screenplays are just always so... The dialogue is so entertaining to listen to. He knows exactly how long a scene should play out. And yeah, I mean, he's one of our most revered living filmmakers for a reason. So for me, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood was one of his more poignant films. It was definitely... yearning for that bygone era of classic Hollywood, and also kind of a wish fulfillment fantasy of, you know, what could have been had Sharon Tate's life not been tragically cut short. So yeah, it's a great piece of work. It definitely ended up on my top 10 favorites of the year.
Yeah, I love that movie as well. It was in my top 10 of the year also. And I do love Quentin's way of kind of telling revisionist history. You know, Inglourious Basterds is probably still my favorite film of his, and he does the same thing in that movie. So I agree. Always witty and always a lot to say, and he does a great job at writing screenplays, so I have zero problem with it. He would get my vote as well. So
I'm very happy to see Shia LaBeouf on this list, because Honey Boy is another film that went completely under the radar this year, and I felt deserved more attention in general. It would have been great if he had gotten some awards attention for Honey Boy, because I saw that at the very, very beginning of the year, at a very early screening, and it stuck with me, you know, all year. It didn't quite make my top 10, but it was just outside of it as an honorable mention, because it moved me in a way that very few films this past year did. So people who are listening to this who are kind of on the fence or haven't heard much about it or haven't been impressed with Shia LaBeouf in the past, even give it a chance, because I think it will change your perception of him as an artist.
Okay, so our next category is a fun one. It's the best movie, pet or animal. So the nominees were Brandy from Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, Church from Pet Sematary, Dumbo from Dumbo, Goose from Captain Marvel, and the Seagull from The Lighthouse.
I'd be more than happy with any of these choices winning.
The winner for best movie, pet or animal, is Brandy from Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
Of course.
Yeah, this was also a bit of a close vote, though, which surprised me. What I'm looking at the results right now, but what surprises me, what came in second, was Goose from Captain Marvel. I voted the Seagull from The Lighthouse. I absolutely love The Lighthouse. One of my favorite movies of the year.
Mine too. Yeah. That Seagull was a little bastard, though.
He was.
What happens to that Seagull in the film? Like, that's what I was waiting for or wanting to do. So when it finally happened, I was like, perfect.
Yeah, but I mean, Brandy in that last act of Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, if nothing else, you know, when Brad Pitt kind of gives him the, you know, and then that's it, and he kind of wrecks shop. Such a good sequence, right? I mean, just that sequence alone, I feel like gets Brandy this award.
She's a good girl.
Yeah.
Apparently, I just saw this on, I think on Twitter, but apparently they're doing an event in Hollywood where you can go meet the actual dog who plays Brandy in the film. I don't know if the dog's name is Brandy as well. Yeah, like I would pay cash money to meet Brandy,
yeah, absolutely.
You know, and get my picture Brandy. Taken with her and everything. Sure. But no, that was such a memorable animal performance in the film, obviously very well trained. Mm. And I love the little running joke of the different kinds of dog food that that Brad Pitt would feed her, like raccoon meat or something.
Right. I thought it was gonna be like rat guts or something. Yeah.
Yeah,
no, that was hilarious. And we already talked about Quentin's screenplay abilities, but yes, Brandy from Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. Not really a surprise there.
And Church from Pet Sematary. I mean, that movie was ultimately very lackluster, but if you want to see the creepiest cat you've ever seen in a motion picture, then watch Pet Sematary.
This is another one we've disagreed on, but I love the remake. I actually
I know. Power to you, but
power to you for not.
Could have been so much better. That was one of the biggest disappointments for me, considering how much talent was behind it and how much, like, the elements were all there.
Right.
But when you're cutting crucial scenes out of the movie or changing them to make them, like, if you're changing character decisions to make them less likable, then it didn't hit like the book or even the original movie did.
Yeah, no, I love the original and I love the remake, but I know. Actually, I don't even know what the Rotten Tomato score is, but I feel like I'm probably in the minority with that, and I get that. I love the ending too. I feel like that just left me on a super high note, you know, when I left.
The ending was great,
and I haven't seen it since, so I wonder if it might come down on a rewatch or whatever. But I just remember being really impressed by the remake, because typically I don't like remakes and they usually suck. Which I know you're saying this one did too, but I thought it didn't suck.
It could have been so much better. It had so much potential, and it just didn't live up to the potential.
Right. I'll get you. All right, man. So we're getting into some of our acting categories, which are considered the big ones. So I'll let you get us started. What's next, Brian?
Boy, oh boy. Here we go. Okay. Best Supporting Actress. The nominees are Florence Pugh, Little Women. Jennifer Lopez in Hustlers. Laura Dern in Marriage Story. Margot Robbie in Bombshell. And Octavia Spencer in Loose. And the winner is Florence Pugh for Little Women.
I've always known I would marry Rich. Why should I be ashamed of that?
It's nothing to be ashamed of. As long as you love him.
Well, I believe we have some power over who we love. It isn't something that just happens to a person.
I think the poets might disagree.
Well, I'm not a poet. I'm just a woman. And as a woman, there's no way for me to make my own money. Not enough to earn a living or to support my family. And if I had my own money, which I don't, that money would belong to my husband the moment we got married. And if we had children, they would be his, not mine. They would be his property. So don't sit there and tell me that marriage isn't an economic proposition, because it is. It may not be for you, but it most certainly is for me.
Interesting. Let me pull up the results on that one. I actually did not expect that. What about you?
Well, Florence Pugh is wonderful in everything I've seen her do.
Oh,
like,
so
even
good.
In this past year, she's been in three films: Midsummer, Fighting with My Family, and Little Women, that impressed me immensely.
Mm-hmm.
I think her performance in the film is very good. My initial criticism of the film was that I thought she was miscast, because Amy is the youngest sister. She's kind of the petulant, like, youngest daughter. And at one point, if I seem to recall from reading the book, she's supposed to be like 11 or 12 years old. And
right.
You have Florence Pugh, who's a grown-ass woman,
right,
playing her.
Right.
And there are scenes where it seems like she's playing a lot younger. And she does it very well. She plays the character very well. But I feel like that role should have been cast by a much younger actress.
One thing that jumps out at me, first of all, yes, I love Florence Pugh. Florence Pugh, in fact, when I gave my review for Little Women, all I said was Florence Pugh for the President of Earth. I absolutely, anything I see her in, I'm just mesmerized, and her performance, regardless of the picture itself, is always A+, and she's just an inherent talent, you know what I mean? Like, because she's so young, and I'm sure she's had, you know, schooling and things like that, but she's just so young that it's not like she's doing this based on decades of experience. You know, she's just got it, and she's just a natural.
She's got it for sure. She can do. She can sing. Apparently, there was a viral tweet going around.
Oh yeah, I saw that. She, like, a YouTube
that video where
thing
she's singing. When You're Good to Mama from Chicago and killing it. So right. I would love to see her in a musical next.
Me too. Yeah, so. I love her. I loved her in Midsommar. We'd already talked about. You know, she was my favorite part of Little Women in terms from an acting standpoint. I'm a huge fan of Timothée Chalamet. I thought he was great. Saoirse Ronan, we're going to be talking about here in a moment. She's great. And obviously Greta Gerwig at the directing. I mean, this is a great film. I mean, this is one of the best films of the year, no doubt. And she was my favorite part of it. I did want to mention a couple of the other nominees in this category, though, because they have been getting a lot of kind of notoriety at award season. But Laura Dern is sweeping for Marriage Story. And she only got 17% of the vote here for the piece. And then the other one is Jennifer Lopez, who kind of infamously got snubbed at the Oscars this year and lost at the Golden Globes and some other things. And for Hustlers, what do you think about those two actresses in this category?
Again, I might be in a minority here. I thought Laura Dern was actually quite bad in Marriage Story.
Interesting.
I might get tarred and feathered for saying that. I think she's a spectacular actress in just about everything I've seen her in. My problem with Marriage Story was that the performances of Adam Driver and Scarlett Johansson were so real, so raw, so just heartbreakingly good that and everyone else around them was played far too broadly. You have Julie Haggerty as like the comedy relief mother character, almost, and then you have Ray Liotta playing the slimy lawyer, and then Laura Dern playing another slimy lawyer. Like, they were all played up to 11 almost. Like, they were told to play it up. So I think their performances are just far too broad and cartoonish for a movie that is ultimately about a very real,
natural kind of real life experience, very
naturalistic, you know, study of this relationship. So I felt that the supporting performances, I did like
Alan Alda.
Was it Alan Alda in the film? I did like Alan Alda, but most of the other supporting performances took away from and distracted from that central drama and that central conflict in those two performances of Johansson and Driver.
The thing I had about Laura Dern, you're right, she's an amazing actress. I've loved her all the way back. I mean, one of my favorite films of all time is called Wild at Heart, a David Lynch film.
Amazing film.
I just love Laura Dern. Just in general, she was in this movie called A Perfect World, a Clint Eastwood film that I love. I've always loved her, man. But the thing about Marriage Story for me, and she's sweeping. I mean, she's winning literally every award
for
this performance, which is crazy to me because to me, I watch Big Little Lies on HBO. Do you watch that?
I've heard it's good.
It's really, really good. But she is exactly the same character in Big Little Lies. So that was the thing that I just couldn't get past. I mean, not that it's bad because she plays this lady named Renata on the show. I don't think she's a lawyer, though, on the show. I think she's in, like, finance or something like that. But she's kind of, like, rich and a bigwig, you know. But she's, like, the same mannerisms, the same kind of over-the-top delivery when her character's being featured on that show. And I love it. But then when I saw Marriage Story, I'm like, well, I've been watching that for two seasons. Like, that's what she's been doing on Big Little Lies. Does that make sense? Like, I didn't feel like it was a stretch her acting chops. It was not a stretch for her because she'd been doing it on that show. So that's the only thing I had with it, which kind of surprised me that she's sweeping. And then what do you think about Jennifer Lopez? Did you see Hustlers, I assume?
I did see Hustlers. Great performance. Again, you could argue about whether or not it's one of the best performances of the year, but it was certainly one of the most memorable for me where, you know, she really brought her A game physically. She really brought her A game, you know, in terms of the emotional power of her performance. Yeah, definitely a standout for sure.
Yeah, it's one of the most and I know you don't get into it, but it's one of the most notable snubs from the Academy this year because she didn't even get nominated for supporting actress. J-Lo, who just had her Super Bowl halftime performance as well.
Oh my God, that was incredible.
It was awesome. Yeah, I agree.
Every actor who gave a performance in 2019 and wasn't nominated was also snubbed for this award.
That's true.
That's my viewpoint on it. You know what I mean? I mean,
that's absolutely true. All right. So Florence Pugh walks away with Best Supporting Actress, the Golden Pea this year. And I do love her. So I'm happy about that. All right. Let's see. Best Supporting Actor is up next. So here are the nominees. Brad Pitt for Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. Joe Pesci for The Irishman. Roman Griffin Davis for Jojo Rabbit. Shia LaBeouf for Honey Boy. And Willem Dafoe for The Lighthouse. Let's see who the winner is. Brad Pitt, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. Another kind of obvious one.
Hey, you. What's your name?
Me?
Yeah, you.
My name's Cliff. I'm Rick Dalton's stunt double.
Stuntman?
Yeah.
You know, you're kind of pretty for a stuntman.
That's what they tell me.
So, did I say something funny, stuntman?
Yeah, you kind of did.
What's so funny?
Look, man, I don't want any trouble. I'm just here to do a job.
But you're laughing at what I'm saying. but I'm not saying anything funny. So what do you think is so funny?
What I think is, you're a little man with a big mouth and a big chip, and I think you should be embarrassed to suggest you be anything more than a stain on the seat of Cassius Clay's trunks.
Brother, you're the one with the big mouth, and I would really enjoy closing it, especially in front of all my friends. But my hands are registered as lethal weapons. That means we get into a fight, I accidentally kill you, I go to jail.
Anybody accidentally kills anybody in a fight, they go to jail. It's called manslaughter. And I think all that lethal weapon horse shit is just an excuse so you dancers never have to get in a real fight.
This category is loaded, man. I'm talking about for the Golden Peas. Let me talk real quick and then I'll get your thoughts. Willem Dafoe gave, in my opinion, and of course I didn't see every movie that came out last year, but of everything I saw, Willem Dafoe gave the best acting performance on screen that I saw in The Lighthouse. Just an absolute, I feel like acting teachers and coaches could literally just show his clip from that movie for the next 20 years to teach people the different layers and just method acting in dramatic film. I mean, it was just amazing. The scene where he's getting buried alive, he's given that monologue and the dirt's going into his mouth and he's crawling on his knees to basically his grave. The scenes when he just takes like a jovial turn from like a lighthearted conversation about his cooking and just kind of turns into a manic, like, you know, he just like delivers a performance of what Cabin Fever would make you feel like. And he gives a performance to kind of make you believe what that feels like. That was the best performance, male or female, that I saw last year, a Willem Dafoe in The Lighthouse. Now, Brad, with that being said, Brad Pitt winning this category, I love that because I absolutely love Brad Pitt. And I feel like he is long overdue to start collecting some awards. And he has been. He's been winning a lot of them for Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. He was also great in Ad Astra. And I think Quentin Tarantino's script kind of overshadowed his performance in Ad Astra, but he had a great year of acting. And I feel like Dafoe and Pitt, I mean, they're right there as far as I'm concerned. Give it to either one of them. But Dafoe didn't even get nominated for the Academy Award, so you know I'm bitter about that. What do you think about this category, man?
I think you picked some great ones to be nominated for sure. And I think the listeners definitely chose a worthy person to win the award, because Brad Pitt was definitely, there was just something about that performance where it was very scaled back, very measured. And then when he needed to, he just completely took off, especially at the end, mm-hmm. that third act where Brad Pitt is, you know, completely blitzed and he's right. just laughing at everything. And it's so fun to watch.
Right.
Writing that line between, you know, very cool and collected and then on a dime, turning into this giggling goof is, takes immense talent. And he was very good in Ad Astra as well, even though that movie bored me to tears. Again, that's what I'm talking about the kind of arbitrary nature of film awards, because this award could have gone to anyone in this category. Joe Pesci, are you kidding me?
No.
Masterful work. And the fact that Scorsese brought him out of retirement to play this character, a character that's very much against type.
He
nails it. He nails it. I just rewatched The Irishman this past weekend, and I was just, again, completely entranced by Pesci's performance.
No, he's the best. And like you said, against type, he's very subdued and calm, which Pesci's typically a manic.
It's a quiet performance, but it's quietly powerful.
Yeah, I agree. So supporting actor for the Golden Pea went to Brad Pitt, and I think that trend is going all around award season. So Mr. Pitt's collecting his awards, which I'm happy for him, and I'm happy about that. All right, so the next category is a big one as well. It's for Best Director. What do we have over there, Brian?
The nominees for Best Director are Bong Joon-ho for Parasite, Greta Gerwig for Little Women, Martin Scorsese for The Irishman, Noah Baumbach for Marriage Story, Robert Eggers for The Lighthouse, and Sam Mendes for 1917. And the winner is Bong Joon-ho for Parasite.
There we go. So I was assuming we were going to get into a little Parasite discussion today, because I'm a giant proponent for this film, and I've heard that you're kind of so-so on it. But in discussing Bong Joon-ho specifically, though, how do you feel about him winning this?
Well, I think that most of this movie is near perfect. So I don't argue with people when they say that Parasite's a masterpiece. It is so meticulously directed. It is impressive how pitch perfect the performances are, the production design, how characters are arranged within the frame. You know, the editing, everything about this film is just about pitch perfect. You know, as perfect as movies can be directed.
Right.
Bong Joon-ho is a director that I have enjoyed a lot of his work in the past. I think he is not particularly very interested in subtlety, mm-hmm. Which I both admire about his films. And I feel like sometimes I roll my eyes at his films because I'm like, you're literally just there, no subtlety at all whatsoever. Okay, that's fine. You're not trying to bury your themes very deeply within their narrative. It's all right there at face value. Mm-hmm. And that's cool. That's something that I really admire about him. But also with Parasite, you know, I found that the third act, especially for me, did not stick the landing and was not nearly as sure-handed as everything that came before.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
the first two-thirds of this movie are just a wonder to behold.
Right. And from a direction standpoint, which was this particular award, I mean, Bong Joon-ho, you know, I mean, him and Robert Eggers, who was also in this category for The Lighthouse, those two movies were really a display for the craft of filmmaking in addition to the story that we were being told. So, you know, I wouldn't recommend it. But, you know, for example, if you put those two films on mute and you just kind of watch visually what's happening with the camera and the cinematography and, you know, that and the editing and that type of stuff, I mean, those are master works in all of those kind of technical categories. And then when you add this story and the characters involved in those two projects, I mean, just two of the best films of the year all around. And I, you know, I mean, I would have absolutely loved Greta Gerwig to get this for Little Women, or just Greta Gerwig in general, because I've always been a huge fan of hers and I feel like she's long overdue for some awards as well. But yeah, I mean, come on, man. Bong Joon-ho is really knows what he's doing. Let's put it that way. He's good at his job, right?
Oh, absolutely.
So he won with 31% of the vote, and actually the second place would have been Robert Eggers with 22% of the vote. So I'm kind of surprised.
Wow, okay.
And 14% of the vote went to Sam Mendes for 1917.
Yeah, I mean, 1917, if I had seen it before 2019 ended, that may have ended up on my list.
Same here.
Favorite films of the year.
Same here. We had recorded before I saw it, but I will tell you that once I saw it, I added Sam Mendes and the film to this ballot because that's how good it was. And I knew that it was on other ballots for, you know, Oscars and so on and so forth. So yeah, I mean, it's a tremendous work, and it may come up again later because there's another mention of 1917 coming up. So best director went to Bong Joon-ho for Parasite. All right, best actor is me. All right, so here are the nominees. Adam Driver.
Best actor is you.
Best actor is me. I win. Not even close, brother. Best actor nominees are Adam Driver for Marriage Story, Adam Sandler for Uncut Gems, Daniel Craig for Knives Out, Joaquin Phoenix for Joker, and Taron Egerton for Rocket Man. And our winner for best actor, okay, is Adam Driver for Marriage Story. Let me see the results here. So he won with 44% of the vote, and then Joaquin Phoenix would have been in second with 27% of the vote.
You always made me aware of what I was doing wrong, how I was falling short. Life with you was joyless.
So then you had to go and fuck someone else?
You shouldn't be upset that I fucked her. You should be upset that I had a laugh with her.
Do you love her?
No, but she didn't hate me. You hated me.
You hated me. You fucked somebody we worked with.
You stopped having sex with me in the last year. I never cheated on you.
That was cheating on me.
But there's so much I could have done. I was a director in my 20s who came from nothing and was suddenly on the cover of fucking Time Out New York. I was hot shit and I wanted to fuck everybody and I didn't. And I loved you and I didn't want to lose you. But I'm in my 20s and I didn't want to lose that too, and I kind of did. And you wanted so much so fast. I didn't even want to get married. Fuck it. There's so much I didn't do.
Thanks for that.
You're welcome.
How do you feel about the nominees in this category? To me, that's a little bit of a surprise. I mean, Joaquin's been sweeping, and I think, and I know you're a bigger fan of the Joker than I was, I think, from when I heard you talk about it on the Epic Film Guys, but Joaquin Phoenix is, well, let me put it this way. Joaquin Phoenix and the last 20 minutes of the Joker were the only two things I enjoyed about that film, personally.
Well, I think looking back on my review, I was too kind to Joker. I think I was not on my A game when we were performing that night, and I was saying a lot of things were, oh, that was interesting. Oh, yeah. That element was interesting. Like, it was not a very well-rounded review. Mm-hmm. let's make no mistake. I mean, Joaquin Phoenix's performance is the movie.
Right.
I don't think you would be watching it for any other like reason than to watch him on screen do his thing, because he is. It is a very unnerving performance to watch. He's almost like skeletal, like the way he like shapes his body and kind of contorts it. I think the he was just given free rein to do whatever he wanted in the performance, and that's why we end up with like five slow motion dance scenes in the movie, because it's just Joaquin Phoenix completely unleashed and doing whatever he wants with the character. And that's a fascinating experiment in acting for sure. But if Joker wins Best Picture at the Academy Awards this year, I will burn everything to the ground.
Yeah, me too.
Because the movie itself is so derivative.
Todd Phillips, for that matter. Sorry to interrupt, but if he wins Best Director, I don't know what I'll do. But go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I mean, like it's a well put together film, but in the year when we have Scorsese and Greta Gerwig, who wasn't even nominated, it just seems like what a waste to give it to Todd Phillips or Joker. Like, you know what I mean?
Right.
So I do think the movie is.
It's okay. It's fine. Like,
And in terms of like, we haven't seen anything like it. This exploration of this character that's been around
And I'm not trying to
almost 100 years. He's an iconic character, and that kind of the attempt to explore him and the attempt to track his origins in a way that we haven't seen on screen before. It definitely makes Joker notable.
Right.
But it's not a great film.
Part of the Joker allure is that we don't know that, you know, and that's even in the going all the way back to the comics. I mean, you just don't know. And you get the sense that he doesn't even know or that he doesn't remember. And I'm not saying that I, you know, disregard the fact that they attempted to tell that story. And I think that is, you know, interesting, and it could have been amazing, but it just ended up being good to me, you know. And I know people love it and people put it on their best of the year, and it got nominated for 11 Academy Awards, which I don't know, kind of shocked me, because I do feel like it's a rip off of old Scorsese things like The King of Comedy and Taxi Driver, and you know,
it's literally the King of Comedy.
Right. I agree 100%. And then when I was watching it, I was thinking that as I was watching it. Okay, well, let's talk about Mr. Adam Driver real quick. So he won here. He got really a landslide, to be honest, 44% of the vote for Marriage Story. You mentioned it earlier when we were discussing Laura Dern, but I feel like this is deserved. I think it's a surprise, but I feel like it's deserved. I love Adam Driver along with Florence Pugh. I mean, I feel like they just had a year, man, right? I mean, Adam 100%. Driver had a year. But how do you feel about him winning it here?
You know, Adam Driver is someone I've had on my, you know, he's just worked with some of the most amazing directors. You know, he's worked with Jim Jarmusch. He's worked with, of course, Noah Baumbach and Terry Gilliam, Steven Soderbergh, like the people that he's worked with already in his career, the Coen brothers, you know, he's
Scorsese,
just,
right? He worked with Scorsese.
Yeah.
And Silence.
Silence.
Yeah. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So this is an already amazing career, and he's, you know, relatively young.
Oh, yeah.
So I think he has a really just amazing career ahead of him. I can't wait to see what he does next. I think his portrayal of Kylo Ren, especially in The Force Awakens and The Last Jedi, is iconic.
Oh, yeah.
I wish he was given more to do in The Rise of Skywalker. Mm-hmm. But, you know, what an actor.
I agree.
And again, in Marriage Story, it's revealed that he actually has a pretty decent singing voice. So I think we should pair up Adam Driver and Florence Pugh.
There you go. You know, one of these days, those two are going to be in a movie together. And I'm going to faint when I see the trailer for it.
As the son of divorced parents, you know, I recognize a lot of behaviors and emotions that I observe when watching Marriage Story. And I think that was the film's true emotional power for me. Mm-hmm. And if the movie were just like a two-person show, if it were just Driver and Johansson, then I would have preferred it. Because, you know, I didn't think the son was a particularly realistic character in terms of how the other supporting characters were portrayed very cartoonishly. I thought the son was as well. So if the movie were just those two characters, I would have been thrilled with them. I think it may have been even better, because then it just would have been focusing on what I found to be interesting.
Okay, well, did you want to say anything else about the other nominees in this category? How did you feel about Sandler, Daniel Craig, Taron Egerton?
If I were casting the vote, like if it were strictly up to me, it would have gone to Taron Egerton and Rocket.
Okay, good.
Not taking away from anything in the other, you know, the other nominated positions, but Taron Egerton was just so good in this movie, and I just want him to get some kind of recognition for it. He won the Golden Globe.
He did, yeah.
Very deservingly so. Wait, did he win the Golden Globe?
Yeah, for a comedy or musical, I think.
Okay, yeah, there you go. Yes, you're right. So I just thought it was a terrific performance. He was Elton John. I did
really
not
was.
See Taron Egerton. The fact that he sang all of those songs is impressive. I went into Rocket Man hoping that it wouldn't be, but fully expecting it to be a by-the-book biopic where it was just by the numbers, and it ended up being so much more. Mm-hmm. And a lot of that had to do with Taron Egerton's portrayal of Elton John.
I agree.
You know? He just knocks it out of the park in terms of the theatricality that the role requires, and also the introspection and the more sensitive aspects to Elton John. I think both of those sides, I think Taron Egerton just absolutely nailed.
I agree, and I'm a huge Elton John fan, so I was very pleased with his performance and the picture overall as well. I also loved Adam Sandler in Uncut Gems. I know that's a divisive opinion, especially with some of the Epic Film guys. namely Nicholas. But I thought, you know, we were talking about going against type. And I mean, obviously we're doing that here with Adam Sandler. I mean, he's visited this occasionally, you know, movies like Punch Drunk Love or even the Meyerowitz stories from a couple years ago. But generally speaking, 95% of his catalog is kind of slapstick comedy. So for him to do this is very reminiscent of like Jim Carrey coming off of Ace Ventura and doing something like Man on the Moon. You know what I mean? It's like a 180 turn. And I feel like he did really well, and we were so familiar with him as an actor and his face. I mean, so we kind of, I don't know. I just kind of bought him in this kind of slime ball Diamond District Howard character. What about you? Do you like the notoriety Sandler's been getting for this?
Oh, it's a slimy character for sure. Mm-hmm. And you know, it takes a lot to make a character like that even watchable. Let alone, I wouldn't say the character's likable, but we're following this character on his journey, and we want to find out what happens to him next. Mm-hmm. You know, I was talking about this last night with some of my film club people, but the movie is kind of built on contrivance. And if you are not 100% on board with the fact that this character makes the most idiotic decisions of all time, then I don't think you'll be on board with the movie itself. But for me, it was like watching a train wreck in slow motion. Like, it was just fascinating. Mm-hmm. And Sandler's performance is just magnetic. You're completely drawn to him. And you know, Nick has the argument that you just see Sandler the entire time. He's not portraying a character, but I couldn't disagree more.
Yeah, I disagree.
I think he disappears more.
I do too. And the Safdie brothers have a knack for that too, and incorporating just kind of a real world feel. I mean, Good Time, you know, Robert Pattinson, did you ever see Good Time?
I sure did.
Yeah, Robert Pattinson's character in that is similar in a way where he's going through this night, this kind of crazy night, and just kind of makes these weird, kind of stupid, you know, life altering decisions. And it's very similar in Uncut Gems from an arc perspective, except gambling's at the core of it. But yeah, I agree with you. I think Sandler really just became Howard and kind of connected us to a story that we otherwise would not have been connected to. So I agree with you. I think Adam Driver winging is a bit of a surprise, but I do think it's deserving, and I love Adam Driver. So that's our best actor for the Golden Peas, guys. All right, best actress. We have two categories remaining. We have actress and film. Brian, give us the nominees for best actress and the winner.
The nominees for best actress are Awkwafina in The Farewell, Elizabeth Moss in Her Smell, Lupita Nyong'o for Us, Saoirse Ronan for Little Women, and Scarlett Johansson for Marriage Story. And the winner is Scarlett Johansson for Marriage Story. Wow.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. Marriage Story racking up here towards the end of the show. I did
look great. Yeah. You know, like I said, those two performances make the meet.
Yeah, I did love ScarJo in that.
I just went along with him in his life because it felt so damn good to feel myself alive. In the beginning, I was the actress, the star, and that felt like something. You know, people came to see me at first, but the farther away I got from that and the more acclaim the theater company got, I had less and less weight. I just became the actress that was in that thing that time, and he was the draw. And that would have been fine, but I got smaller. I realized I didn't ever really come alive for myself. I was just feeding his aliveness. And, you know, he was so smart and creative. It was fine, you know? I would tell him things at home in private, and they would work their way into public conversation, into his work, and
for a while, that felt like enough. I mean, I was just so flattered that someone like him would find an idea I had worth trying or a comment I made worth repeating. And then I got pregnant. And I thought that having a baby could be ours, could really be ours, but also really mine. And, you know, he was so excited. So it was nice.
Did you see Jojo Rabbit this year?
I did.
Yeah. You know, she got nominated for both. One, Jojo is supporting, and then Marriage Story is lead. She got nominated for both at the Academy Awards and at the BAFTAs.
Which, in my opinion, is incredibly stupid.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's
considering she was just pretty good in Jojo Rabbit. Right. I don't really understand it.
I don't either. And she obviously was. I mean, Marriage Story is obviously a better performance. I don't know. I thought it was. I mean, I do love her, so don't take that the wrong way. But I just think it's a little crazy too when there's so many actresses and supporting actresses that could have been recognized in that spot. Lupita Nyong'o being one of them.
I think that was my vote.
Yeah, that was my vote as well. So I'm looking at the results here. 41% of the vote went to Scarlett Johansson. 31% went to Lupita, though. And then it was basically a cliff after that. The third one would have been Awkwafina with 14% of the vote for The Farewell. So, yeah, I mean,
what a knockout performance that was, too.
It really was. I mean, just out of nowhere and just such a heartfelt performance and carrying so much emotion in her portrayal. Did you ever see Her Smell with Elizabeth Moss?
No, that was one that people kept telling me to watch. And it just slipped under my radar, unfortunately. But Moss is on another level. I'm very excited to see her in The Invisible Man coming out this year.
Me too. Yeah. Yeah. She was amazing in Her Smell. Just a very, very tortured performance in that film. Yeah. I mean, I'm surprised at Scarlett Johansson here, I guess. But yeah, I mean, there you go. That's your best actress. People love Marriage Story, apparently, which is going to... Do you have anything you want to say about the rest of the nominees in this category before we go on to our best picture?
Great work all around, really.
Yeah, I agree. All right, so here we go, guys. So the nominees for best movie of the year. 1917, The Irishman, Knives Out, Marriage Story, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, Parasite, Portrait of a Lady on Fire, Uncut Gems. Those are our nominees. And the winner for Best Picture, do you want to guess, Brian? I have it. I'm looking at it here.
I don't care to make predictions. Let's just get right to it.
I was trying to get you to do it, man. All right, so the winner for Best Picture
I'm sorry. I didn't...
No, go ahead.
Sorry.
You're fine. The winner for Best Picture is Parasite.
역시.
그동안 미술쌤도 여러 명 바꿔가면서 해봤는데요.
제가 사람 하나 하고 떠올랐는데...
아, 잠깐. 제시카, 외동딸, 일리노이 시카고. 과선배는 김진모, 그는 이사총.
수련대 착하다니까.
진짜 니가 착한 거지.
I'm deadly serious.
So would that been what you would have guessed? Probably, right? I don't know.
Probably.
Though.
I would not raise any eyebrows if it won Best Picture.
Yeah, it's actually really close. So I'm looking at it here. So 25% of the vote went to Parasite, and then 20% of the vote went to Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. Would have been number two, and number three would have been 1917 with 15% of the vote. So kind of close between the top three there. I mean, you know that I think Parasite. I mean, Portrait of a Lady on Fire was my favorite film of the year last year, but it did not get a wide release. It still hasn't. It's supposed to come out wide on Valentine's weekend, but I got a screener of it and I saw it from the Film Independent, and it blew me away. I assume you haven't had a chance to see that one yet.
No, unfortunately.
Yeah,
but I'm very much looking forward to it, as it's ended up on a couple of my friends' best of list.
Yeah,
and
it's amazing.
Even best, you know, best film of the year overall. So
yeah,
I'm really anxious to.
It's amazing. Out of these nominees, what's your pick? What would get your vote?
Oh man. That's a really good question. Probably Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, as it did end up on my top 10 favorites of the year, and none of the others did.
Yeah.
But my top 10 list was also weirder and more out there than most. But 1917 was an amazing achievement. The Irishman, of course, I have watched multiple times and loved. Knives Out, one of the biggest surprises of the year for me. Well, not really a surprise, because Rian Johnson, yeah, you know, kills it with every opportunity, even with Star Wars The Last Jedi, which is
I love it.
Arguably the second best Star Wars movie ever made. Don't at me.
I mean, I wouldn't say second, but it probably is in my top five, though, of Star Wars films. I love The Last Jedi.
Yeah. So, I mean, again, really any of these films could have taken this award, but the people have spoken.
Yeah. There
and,
you go.
Parasite, as I mentioned earlier, I mean, it is a near perfect film, and you could argue that it is a masterpiece, but yeah.
There you go. So Parasite won two awards. Once Upon a Time in Hollywood collected two awards, and Marriage Story collected two awards, which were the two lead actor awards. So they are the three big winners, I guess you would say, for the Golden Peas. But your movie of the year is Parasite, also Bong Joon-ho for director. Brian, the last thing I want to do is I ask for questions over on the Facebook fan page. And of course, I messed up and did it super late, so we only got a few. And I just want to see if you want to answer for the fans here. So real quick, what was Perry Wilson over on the Facebook fan page says, what was the biggest letdown of 2019, aka the movie you were most excited for but did not end up liking? Do you have anything for that?
Well, I think I mentioned them earlier. If we're talking about films that did not match up between my expectations and the actual finished product, it would probably be Star Wars The Rise of Skywalker and Godzilla King of the Monsters.
Okay.
Both films were on my most anticipated list and ended up not delivering for me. I will also say that Dead Don't Die was a film that I was looking forward to, even based on the trailer, and was kind of dumbfounded at how just anemic and lame it was, for lack of a better word.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, actually, Dead Don't Die, I was going to mention as well, because you got Bill Murray and Adam Driver, bro. I mean, it's like,
come on.
You don't, what else do you need? I mean, not to mention the rest of the cast that was supporting in that. And I'm a Selena Gomez, like, creepy fanatic. So she was even in that.
Why was she in the film? What purpose did her character serve?
I know, exactly. So to be different, I'll just say Tim Burton's Dumbo. I mean,
that's another good one.
I mean, you and I have talked about Burton many, many times because he's our favorite, or one of our favorite filmmakers for sure. But I don't know, man. He just phoned it in for this and just collected the check. I don't know. It wasn't very good for me. You know, some of the special effects were okay. You know, the Dumbo was okay, but he wasn't. It's a movie called Dumbo, and where's Dumbo? I mean, he's showed up like three times.
Should be on screen at all times.
You know, so I don't know. I was disappointed by that. I took my son to see it, and I kind of felt almost bad for taking him. You know, and
yeah.
You don't want to have that feeling when you're introducing your children to films. You know, but those two were a disappointment for me. And then Tony Vanden Bush is always giving us feedback. Thank you so much, Tony. She wants to know, on the flip side, what was the biggest surprise of the year, one that you did not think you would like, but you did?
That's a good question. Let me think about it. Crawl is a film that I was extremely impressed by, considering that it could have been crap.
Mm-hmm.
Very easily could have been crap. But it was so well directed. The suspense was just on point. It's brutal. It's nasty, which I think we need more of in our motion pictures. In terms of films that I had no expectations for, but I was surprised with, I mean, none of these films I don't think will end up on like my best of the year list, certainly, but I really enjoyed Terminator Dark Fate.
Okay.
That was one that I had no expectations for going in, and I was really impressed by it. And Dr. Sleep as well. Dr. Sleep like moved me in a way that I did not expect and is rare for horror films to do. It's really, ultimately, it's a film about like the triumph of empathy, which I think is not what I was expecting from a Shining sequel.
Right.
And I loved it. Just very well directed.
Yeah, for me, Tony, I would say, I mean, we already mentioned Pet Sematary. I know Brian's not huge on it, but I want to surprise me because remakes I don't typically like them, and I really dug the Pet Sematary remake. But to be different, I'll say Shazam, because and I know Nick loves the DCEU. I can't remember if you're on the same page.
Well, he loves certain movies in the DCEU.
Right. I just don't, though. Like, they haven't done anything for me in a long, long time. I mean, Wonder Woman was okay, but even Wonder Woman didn't like blow me away.
Right.
So when Shazam came along, I was pleasantly surprised by it. I thought it was unique and quirky, and I thought the casting was perfect. It had kind of which DC hadn't been able to do to that point, but they had kind of the nice balance of humor and kind of serious. I liked the villain in it. There was a lot of like really kind of dark scenes, but there was also some lighthearted scenes. So I would say Shazam was a nice surprise for me last year. Did you enjoy Shazam?
It had this kind of Amblin 80s feel to it, which I loved. And yeah, it's a fun, freewheeling good time. It's not anything that I'm probably going to, you know, watch and adore for years to come, but it was definitely a more fun DC movie than there's ever been, you know, except for Birds of Prey, which I just saw and it's a blast.
Yeah, so. I heard you tell me that before we started recording and I'm excited because I'm supposed to see that today myself. So that's good to hear because I was extremely disappointed by Suicide Squad. In fact, I named it the worst movie of the decade when we recorded that last month. So
I rewatched Suicide Squad for some reason recently. I guess just because I had never seen the extended cut and I was going to see Birds of Prey and I figured, well, I'll give it another shot.
Makes sense.
It's truly awful. I mean, at least Birds of Prey feels like a movie.
Well, that's good.
Whereas Suicide Squad is not a movie.
That's good. You got to start somewhere. Let's at least make it feel like a film, you know?
Exactly.
Brian Loy, I love you, man. You know that. A big fan of yours, big fan of the Epic Film Guys. Thank you so much for doing this. This was our third annual Golden P Awards. Hopefully, Brian will come back and do it with us next year. We'll put out a new ballot for the 2020 films and we'll do it all over again if I'm still around.
Well, thanks for tolerating me. I know I kind of badmouth award season
and
this has nothing to do with that. This is fun. And like I said, this is chosen for by the fans, by the listeners. So we thank everyone who voted.
Absolutely.
It was a really fun time. So thanks for having me.
Of course, man. You know, I love movies. I know you do too. And like you said, every year is a good year for movies because movies come out. So we love movies. I think your Twitter says you'd rather be watching a movie than not watching a movie.
Correct.
And that is also how I feel. So I felt like, you know what, let's celebrate the year in film. And it goes a little bit against the grain with our typical top five show. And I wanted to just kind of find a way to do that. So thank you so much for helping me do that. And we will continue to do it as long as people enjoy it and keep voting. So that was the Golden Peas for the 2019 in film. Brian Loy, why don't you just tell them real quick where they can find you and the Epic Film Guys, buddy?
So you can find us on @EpicFilmGuys on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and wherever you listen to good podcasts. iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, Podbean. We're all over that internet.
You're all over the web, man. All right, I love you, dude. Thanks so much. And guys, thank you for listening to the third annual Golden P Awards. After this is out for about a week or so, I'll make sure to put all the results online too, so everybody can look at a paper version of that and see what the most voted for awards were. I'm kind of excited. There were a couple surprises, but I feel like it turned out pretty well, and nothing that I'm super angry about, so that's good.
Brian, what would you have to be angry about? You chose the
movies. I know. I know you were probably a little hot with Toy Story 4, but I didn't do that on purpose. That's just what people voted for, man.
Burn Toy Story 4.
All right, man. Until next time, Brian, thanks so much for being here, brother. I'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, man.
Thank you for listening. Two Peas is an independent podcast. We rely on donations from our executive producers in order to release new content weekly. We would like to give a special thanks to all our current producers, Kathy Ross, Dan Brennick, Caleb Brownlee, Justin Esquivel, Paul Chomo, Carmen Signy, and Daniel Henderson. If you would like to become an executive producer and help us continue to release great content, please visit 2peasonapod at patreon.com or check out the show notes for this episode. Again, thank you for listening.